Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury.
I'm very pleased to be joined by Kim Jones. Kim, great to see you yesterday. Thanks so much for your time today.
Steve, it was awesome to see you yesterday at Pro Day. It was awesome to see so many NFL folks there. Did not surprise me. I think after what Micah did last year and a couple others, I think that Penn State's going to be on every team's, and has been, of course, on every team's Pro Day circuit. But certainly the enthusiasm seeing some head coaches and some really big defensive coaches there, I thought was telling.
Yeah, 32 teams.
Yep.
All 32 were represented yesterday in one form or another. And I think that goes back to the kind of statement that is being made under James Franklin at Penn State. Is that fair?
Oh, 100%. The athletes that he's producing, the young men who are coming out of Penn State, the idea that they get so much better and then still have room to grow. I mean, you know, we see, Adafe Owe, have a great season that we would all be talking about as Penn Staters, you know, for the Baltimore Ravens, except that, you know, Micah was that much better, and Micah took the NFL by storm. I mean, you know, you're talking about Penn State from an athletic standpoint measuring up. You know, I think with just about anyone, I understand the advantage some of the Southern schools have in that capacity, perhaps. But, you know me. I'm bullish on James Franklin and the program, and I truly think that really, really, really good days are ahead very soon, especially, Steve, after picking the brains of so many Penn State coaches who are really excited about this, what this current team can be, and I love hearing that.
Yeah, exactly, and they are, and they, you know, it's two practices in, but you can see it on the practice field, which you and I talked about yesterday.
Yep.
You and I went through a position-by-position breakdown from safeties to receivers. Jahan Dotson did not need to run his 40 yesterday.
No.
And did not, but he worked out as a receiver. Considering the recent movement in the NFL, Tyreek Hill going, Davante Adams going, what does that now do to the market for a guy like Jahan Dotson, especially based on what you saw yesterday?
I don't really think a whole lot because, for instance, with a Tyreek Hill, you're getting him for a very specific reason, to help a quarterback in Tua, who is very quickly emerging, as these young quarterbacks do, into their quote-unquote prove-it years, right? So you're going to want to get a veteran, just like the Jets would have loved to have gotten Tyreek Hill to help Zach Wilson, who after a rookie season that was uneven, you know, the jury is still out on Zach Wilson, even though the Jets obviously are hoping he's the guy for the next decade. So I think that you're talking about two different kinds of receivers now, the veteran proven who either sticks and helps, you know, perhaps a different quarterback, or is traded and goes to a new team where, you know, he can obviously help a new quarterback. Davante Adams would fit into that category, not in the new quarterback part, but the new team part. But then I also think, and I've said this on my radio shows recently, Steve, we are going to see waves of receivers in the draft now until the game changes again, and only if the game changes again, in my opinion, because this was not a league where receivers were the prime position, but it's become that league, in my opinion, because the young athletes want to play receivers now, receiver now, because of the spread offenses, because of the opportunity to not only catch the ball but make plays, and the idea that the way the college game is being played, you are now seeing some of your best athletes. Jamar Chase comes to mind, at that receiver role. So I think the cycling of receivers, I think, is something we are going to see for like a generation, if you will, of football players. Again, unless and until the game changes again, the receiver is the prime position in terms of turnover, in terms of draft picks, and in terms of getting the young ones while they're cheap and maximizing their potential, because many of them are ready to plug and play in the NFL now.
Well, in fact, you look at the Big Ten, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, Jahan Dotson.
Yep.
And a bigger receiver in David Bell out of Purdue. He doesn't have the speed the other three have.
Mm-hmm.
Without question. But that's what you're talking about. And what's interesting in the NFL, last year Cincinnati, many people felt going in that they're going to go after Penny Sewell. They got to protect Burrow.
Yes.
They went with Chase, and yeah. Chase changed how they played.
Yes, and it was a gamble, though, right? I mean, it absolutely was a gamble because now they have to fix that offensive line, right?
Right.
It's a matter of picking and choosing who and when. And if you can nail that, and I would agree with you, Cincinnati did a good job with that. But I remember seeing Zach Taylor at Florida's Pro Day when Kyle Pitts worked out, and I just looked at Zach. Yeah. And Zach Taylor's a great guy to talk to, very nice. He's young, obviously. Everyone's young, Steve. But he's a great guy to talk to, and I remember he was kind of walking toward me and off the field. And I looked at him, and I said, what are you thinking leaving here? And he said, I'm thinking about Kyle Pitts. Like, you know, and I think that they probably did give at least a little bit of time to Pitts because he's like a receiver as a tight end. And I think he's going to, you know, go on to have, you know, outstanding NFL years. But they certainly made the right pick in reuniting Joe Burrow with Ja'Marr Chase, who is just absolutely electrifying.
I have to ask you very quickly about Daniel Jones. When you see him and you're around, there are a lot of factors that go into this. Why isn't it working for him?
Because he doesn't have pocket presence. And I talked to actually some folks at Penn State from different teams about Daniel yesterday. Yeah. Because I like to, even though I find, you know, I kind of come to my own conclusion, Steve. You've known me a long time. But I like to make sure. I have now talked, I can't tell you, to maybe three dozen talent evaluators over Daniel's career. Not a million, but certainly enough. Mm-hmm. And they all, almost to a man, mention pocket presence. And I had picked up on that very early. He doesn't feel pressure coming. He's not aware pressure is coming. And unless and until he solves that, and the jury is out on how much you can solve that, because some of it is innate, he's not going to be a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. Excellent point. Jaquan Brisker. He ran yesterday.
Yes, he did
everything yesterday. And he did the shuttle. He did everything along the way. What was the impression you got from talking with people, and your own personal impression from watching him work out?
I think that he's a playmaker at safety, which we're seeing the safety. We're also seeing the safety position evolve, right, Steve? And I'm no expert who can, you know, break all of this down for you, and you certainly don't need me to break it down for you, but I'm not some expert in all of these trends in the NFL, but it's what I see, and then I check it with folks who you know, actually live it and do it on a daily basis. You know, the too high safety approach, that because of the aforementioned receivers in this league, we're seeing a lot more in terms of defenses and that sort of thing. The idea that Brisker is a playmaker, in my opinion, I think that most people would probably agree with that. I'm assuming, Steve, you know, you and Jack calling the games would mostly agree with that, at least.
Absolutely. No,
I think
that's
the idea
spot on.
That you can have a safety who can create havoc. Not a safety, you know, this idea like, well, he's got to be able to run, you know, with the third receiver on the field or anything like that. Not as much, in my opinion, when I watch the NFL, not as much anymore. They are scheming out of some of those, you know, potentially bad matchups. But the idea that you can make plays and have that ball awareness as a DB, Steve, that's never going to go away as a priority. I see him as that kind of kid. You and Jack, you know, call the games. You see him far more often than I. So, you know, if you gently corrected me here, I'd be fine with it, of course, as always, my friend. But it, to me, with Brisker, yeah, you look at him as a playmaker.
You got it exactly right. And because there's certain guys, as you and I talked about yesterday, this shows off the athleticism.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and you and I talked about his football instincts and how he knows how to play, and that's the combination of the two. And his size, I think, fits really well into the NFL game.
He's bigger than I thought. Like, he physically, he looks bigger than I thought. You know, I watch the games on TV. You know, Hopefully I can make it to the blue-white game, put my eyes on some of these newer kids, but just because I love, you know, my alma mater so much. But whether I can or can't, like when you do end up seeing them in person, you get a whole different idea of what they are physically. And he's put together really well. I would not think he makes it out of the second round. And for some folks who maybe were hoping first, I don't necessarily know that they're wrong. But I think, you know, you turn into a second-round pick in this league, you know, that's a really great accomplishment and something that any of these young men should be proud of.
Absolutely. It's also interesting, you being there, and when you've been around the Jets, you're there. When you're around the Giants, you're there. The importance, not just of talking to people, because I feel the same way you do. I'm asking questions all the time to the people where it's their job. But you actually seeing this for yourself instead of just watching a video, what does that mean?
Yeah, you mean like being there at Pro
just
Day yesterday?
Being there and seeing it, yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I was really surprised by, a couple of things. Mike McCarthy was there from the Cowboys along with Dan Quinn. You know, that's a Micah effect to some degree. I'm absolutely convinced of that. They're also really good coaches. And Dan Quinn in particular has been so kind to me at a couple of different points in my career. And, you know, to see them there, they could have easily sent, you know, subordinates, you know, who could have said, you know, maybe Micah's not there this year, but we like these guys. They wanted to see it for themselves. John Lynch made the trip. You know, I remember last year, John Lynch didn't go to Trey Lance's pro day. Now, it was a different time, and COVID factored into some of those decisions. So, you know, you and I can't suppose exactly what and why and everything else, and I would not try to. But, you know, John Lynch didn't go to Trey Lance's pro day last year. He certainly was briefed on it and saw video of it. You know, he did his homework. I'm not in any way suggesting John would shirk those responsibilities because he never, ever would. But he didn't go to Trey Lance's pro day, and he was at Penn State yesterday. You know,
exactly.
So I just find that kind of thing interesting when they do travel the distances, because they can easily send scouts. Mm. They can easily send the folks who would not be nearly as recognizable, but can certainly report back on what they see. So that tells me probably about where some of these defensive players are starting to rank for some of these NFL teams in particular. And it also tells me that they want to see what Penn State has going on. When you look at Owe and what he has done, when you look at some other pass rushers, Yetur is finding his way a little bit, but he's, you know, working into shape. Carl Nassib for a long time has been a great pass rusher in this league, a great to good pass rusher in this league. So, you know, Penn State has that reputation, and I just loved seeing everyone who was there. And I know this is a long answer, Steve, and I thank you for, you know, inviting me on your show always. I will tell you the one thing that stuck out most to me, and it's for many different reasons. Brian Flores was there yesterday.
Yes.
In my mind, for all intents and purposes, that's a 33rd head coach in this league. And I had a chance to talk to him. Someone told me beforehand, I don't know if Brian will talk. You know, not tread lightly. He didn't warn me in any way, shape, or form. But he just said, I'm not sure if he's going to talk to you. I mean, I am a member of the media. Steve, I had an incredible conversation, and I will not betray any of it. You know me. Secrets, you know, stay with me, because they're not every conversation is for broadcast. I will say this, the 15 minutes or so I spent talking to Brian Flores were incredible and very much made an impression on me. I have great respect for that man.
I have great respect for him as well. And you just described an important part of my career. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
100%. Steve, that's why people trust you.
Yes.
You know, you break that one, you know, the trust is gone, and you never would. I know you never would.
Right. One final, just a number for you. I did get the final number on Drew Hartlob yesterday. 4.22.
I mean, it's sick. He's so fast. He's a gunner, right?
Yes.
He could have a job in this career. In this, he could conceivably have a special teams job. You know, I don't want to go crazy, but for the next 6 years, with that kind of speed.
I talked to him this morning. As a matter of fact, I talked to Drew for about 10 minutes this morning. And I brought up Ethan Kilmer, which, of course, you know. And Ethan carved out a few years in the NFL with the Bengals because he could do that.
Right. So. Right. Well, what I loved was, as you know, James was yelling out the 40 times, or like, yes. You know, using his fingers to kind of spell out, if you will, the 40 times. And when he ran, James just cupped his hands, you know, around his mouth and yelled very fast. And then he gave his 40 times. So that was one of my like most enjoyable moments of yesterday's pro day, among many, many enjoyable moments.
And he looked over at you and me and he said, I can look at 17 watches with that East Stroudsburg math education.
That's right. Yeah, it was great. It was great to be there yesterday. It really was. It was good for my soul, my football soul, and I just loved being there.
I hope you get back for the blue-white game. So
I hope so, Steve. I'll wave to you in the press box. How's that?
That would be great. All right. Thank you so much for
anytime,
the time we spent yesterday and for being on the show today.
You got it. Anytime, Steve. Have a great day.